From the college campuses of Washington and Lee University in Lexington, Virginia, and Princeton University in Princeton, New Jersey, the National Broadcasting Company presents the College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, transcribed, Princeton University challenges the Quiz Bowl rule of the varsity scholars down at Washington and Lee University. And here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Hi there, everybody. It's good to have you with us for another undergraduate battle of the brains. Let's go first tonight down to Princeton, New Jersey to meet the challengers. Roger Tuttle of NBC New York is on hand to act as referee for the Princeton team. Are you there, Roger?
I certainly am, Alan. And with me are four Princeton Tigers here in the Terrace Club who expect to give Washington and Lee a rather hard time. I'll let them introduce themselves.
I'm Joe Hochstein from Rumson, New Jersey.
Bryce Hoggett from Washington, D.C.
Lou Rukeyser from New Rochelle, New York.
Tom Godolphin, Princeton, New Jersey.
Oh. And there you have the Princeton University team. Now let's move to Lexington, Virginia to take a quick look at the current champions here in the College Quiz Bowl. Back again to referee for the Washington and Lee team is Joe Moffitt of station WSLS in Roanoke. What's doing Lexington, Joe?
Well, nothing much is new, Alan, except maybe the renewed determination of this Washington and Lee team to continue winning. Here are the boys to say hello.
Bob Paxton, Lexington, Virginia.
Henry Turner, Bethesda, Maryland.
Red Lackman, Lexington, Virginia.
Harold Quinn, Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay, we've met both teams. Now, before Dick Dudley explains our quiz bowl rules, may I point out that we recognize that in putting the emphasis on a quick recall of specific facts here in the College Quiz Bowl, we're pointing up only one of the objectives of college education. We're likewise trying to give you an opportunity to meet a few of the many remarkable, well-rounded personalities that can be found today on every American campus. Now, how about those rules, Dick?
Right, Alan, here they are. Now, Alan Lutton asks a toss-up question worth 10 points. And the first team to signal that it knows the answer gets a chance to answer it. When Princeton University signals, you'll hear... When Washington and Lee University signals, you'll hear... By means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here in New York City and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. Now, if a team gives a wrong answer to a toss-up question, the other team is given a chance to answer it. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question worth a stated number of points. Now, the team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and returns next week to defend its title in the College Quiz Bowl.
Thank you, Dick. Now, remember, teams, you may interrupt a toss-up question before I've finished asking it, but if you do... And if your answer is wrong, your team will be penalized 5 points, and I will repeat the question, giving the other team a free crack at it. Okay, those are the rules, and that's the opening whistle, so let's go. Here's your first toss-up question, and coming up first is a 30-point bonus, so on your toes. For 10 points, tell us, who presumably was the first girl to use the Wagner wedding march? No takers? Well, I'll tell you, she was Elsa in Wagner's opera, Lohengrin. Okay, she married Lohengrin.
See you around.
Here we go with another toss-up question. And coming up still is a 30-point bonus. The terms, basket fired, congu, gunpowder, and hyson, all refer to a certain product. For 10 points, Princeton.
Ladies Cosmetics.
You interrupted the question. You're penalized 5 points. I'll finish it. For 10 points, what is it? Was the completion of the question. I'll repeat the whole thing for Washington and Lee. The terms basket fire, congu, gunpowder, and hyson all refer to a certain product. For 10 points, what is it? Washington and Lee. Quickly.
No answer, Alan.
All right, the answer is tea. They are four of the chief teas of commerce. Okay, here we go back to another toss-up, and still coming up is a 30-point bonus. Okay, we'll give you 10 points if you can supply us with the line of verse that precedes Sugar is Sweet. What? Washington and Lee.
Red Lock.
Violets are Blue.
Right, for 10 points. Well, I thought I'd never get going on this. Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you. Okay, Washington and Lee, you got a 30-point bonus, finally. Here we go. It's our first bonus for tonight, and I'm going to describe certain historic scenes. And for 10 points apiece, you are to tell us the name of the city in which each occurred. Okay, here's the first one. On the 30th of April, 1789, a tall, imposing-looking man with a Roman nose, a powdered wig, and a face scarred by smallpox is standing on the balcony of a government building. He raises his right hand and is sworn into office. In what city?
Fredlock.
Philadelphia.
Sorry, New York City, where George Washington is being inaugurated as the first president of the United States. Federal Hall, Broad and Hall, Wall Street. Okay, here's another one. In July 13, 1793, a man is sitting in a covered bathtub reading papers when suddenly a young girl appears on the scene and stabs him to death. What city?
Bobby Fox.
Paris.
Right, Paris. What's the incident? You got the point. What is...
Bobby, what's the incident? What's the incident?
You know the incident?
No, we don't.
You guessed and guessed right. That's when Jean-Paul Marat is assassinated by Charlotte Corday, the French Revolution, you know? Well, you got the right city. Now, what city am I talking about here? The date is October 31st, 1517. A man with a tonsure and black robes of an Augustinian monk approaches a church door with a hammer, some nails, and a long scroll of paper. What city?
Bobby Fox.
The city is Wittenberg, and the man is Martin Luther.
You're right for 10 points. Okay. Here we go back now to a toss-up question. 10 points, if you can tell us, from what foreign ruler did John Paul Jones receive a commission as Rear Admiral? Princeton.
Reichsbacher?
Napoleon.
Can you take it, Washington and Lee?
Yes, we can. Fred Lack.
That would be Captain Gray.
That would be right for 10 points. Wow. Catherine the Great of Russia made Jones the Rear Admiral of the Russian Navy. You know, he served in the Russian Navy after he had served in the... after he had served in the American Navy. Okay, you got a 30-point bonus, Washington Lee, for knowing that, I think, very obscure point. You know, poets traditionally like the ladies. Some have even immortalized the names of particular ladies. Now, you're going to win 10 points each time you can identify the lady the following poets referred to in famous lines of poetry. First of all, the name of the maiden whom, according to Shakespeare, all our swains commend.
That was just... All right. Harold Quinn.
Cleopatra.
No. All right, that's up. You lost it. It was Sylvia, and I heard it.
I thought.
Okay, here we go. The name of the girl whom Alfred Tennyson invited to come into the garden.
Harold Quinn.
Maud.
Right, Maud is right. Maud, come into the garden. Come into the garden, Maud. Okay, the name of the lady who William Wordsworth claimed dwelt among the untrodden ways.
Harold Quinn.
Lucy.
Right, for 10 points. Okay, now before we get along to another toss-up question, let's find out what the stakes are in this quiz game, Dick.
Each week, NBC will award to the school of the winning team a $500 gift to be administered by the college. It may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive, dependable Whitner wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitner family of fine watches, since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. Well, those are the stakes. And now, with 18 and one-half minutes left to go, the score is Princeton minus 5, Washington and Lee 60.
Okay. Coming up is the 30-point musical bonus. So here we go. Washington and Lee, you there? Princeton, are you there?
No,
10 points. Here. You there, Princeton?
Right, we are.
All right. Recently, Mrs. Chapman, Mrs. Schrader, Mrs. Loebs, and Mrs. Swanbeck, Washington and Lee.
Bobby Parks.
They went to Brazil to investigate the cause of the high price of coffee.
Boy, you got it right. So I'll complete the question. I was going to say they performed an unusual task, and for 10 points, what was it? And that unusual task was that they went to Brazil to investigate the high price of coffee. So Washington Lee, you got a 30-point bonus question, a musical bonus. It's a popular musical bonus. We're going to play two of the most popular records now playing on the nation's coin machines or jukeboxes, and another one that not so long ago was right up there at the top. Now, each of these records was made by a famous singing group. And for 10 points apiece, you're to tell us the group. Here we go with the first one.
From the vine came the grape, from the grape came the wine, from the wine came the dream to love.
The name of the group.
Bobby Paxton.
The Hilltoppers.
No, you were near, boy. See, there sound like them. No comment, no editorializing. You don't know the name? The Gaylord. That was the Gaylord. Okay, what's this one?
Old town talking about the Jones.
Fred Lock.
Okay, Fred.
Oh, wait. All right, Fred Lock.
Dane's Brothers.
Wait.
Dane's Brothers.
Okay, we're out. You're out. That's wrong. It's the Mills Brothers. It's a little confusing, but it's fair. Okay.
You.
All right, Fred Lock.
Dane's Brothers.
The Ames Brothers. Right. Okay, that was something that I thought. The score is now 80 for Washington Lee, Princeton, a minus 5. Here we go now with a toss-up question that leads you to a 25-point bonus. If a mother gave her offspring a swig of vinegar or a pickle to suck, she'd be making a quick home diagnosis for what disease? No takers. Princeton.
Lou Kaiser. How about mumps?
That's right, for 10 points. Months. All right, here we go, Princeton, with a 25-point bonus. This is the first Quiz Bowl contest in March. And now for 25 possible points, Princeton, I want to see how many notable dates in this month you are able to recognize. I'll give you the date, and you tell us the significance of this date in the month of March. First of all, March 15th. Anybody in the Princeton?
That would be the day you pay your income tax.
All right, that would be that or the Ides of March. All right. March 17th.
St. Patrick's Day.
Right, for 5 points. March 20th. March 20th. Okay, spring officially begins this year on March 20th at 10:54 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. March 11th. March 11th.
That draws a blank, Alan.
The great blizzard of 88 began on this day.
Yes.
March 25th, this year only. March 25th, 1954. March 25th. Okay. The coveted Oscars will be awarded in Hollywood by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences on March 25th this year. What's the score, Dick?
Well, it's Washington and Lee, 80, and Princeton is 10, I believe, now, huh?
That doesn't sound right.
15? All right, 15. Well, we have 14 and a half minutes to go.
Okay, 15 for Princeton, 80 for Washington Lee. You'll win 10 points if you can identify the source of the following quotation. All experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Can you identify the source of that quotation for 10 points? No takers?
No, Alan. No, not that.
Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
Here we go. A retail coal seller in Iowa asked the mine from whom he usually bought coal to quote him an FOB and a C... Princeton...
The room guys would like to take it, Alan.
FOB is free on board. COD is cash on delivery.
Boy, I'm sorry. I got to knock you down 5 points because you interrupted before I finished the question, and that wasn't the answer I was looking for. I'll finish it for you, Washington and Lee. Ask him to quote both the price, an FOB price and a CIF price for the amount of coal he needed. For 10 points, tell us which quotation would be higher and why. Washington and Lee. No takers?
No takers.
I'll tell you, the CIF quotation would be higher because it includes cost, insurance, and freight. All right, here we go back with another toss-up question. Here we go. He abandoned a wife, 5 children, and a successful stockbroker's business to become a painter. For 10 points, what's his name? Washington and Lee.
Bobby Paxton.
Paul Gauguin.
Right, for 10 points. Okay, Washington and Lee, you got a 30-point bonus here. A 30-point bonus. You'll get 30 points if you can tell us why Russia's October Rebellion is always celebrated in November.
Body pack.
In 1917, Russia was still operating on the old calendar, the Julian calendar. Which they were a month behind.
Yeah, that's right, boy. And Tsarist Russia never got around to recognizing the Gregorian calendar, but Lenin came into power and meant first thing he did, so that...
Oh, wait a minute. Hold it, Alan. That's halftime. Halftime whistle, and that calls for a one-minute timeout.
Okay, and during this 1 minute, I want to spend the first 30 seconds, as we usually do, with the challengers in tonight's Quiz Bowl game. Going down to Princeton to meet the Princeton team, and man, what I want to do now is find out what your ambition is upon completion of your college education. First of all, I'm going to start with you, Bryce Claggett. What are you going to do when you graduate?
Well, I'm going to India next year on a scholarship. After that, I'll probably become a lawyer.
What kind of scholarship?
A Rotary International Fellowship given by the Rotary Club.
Well, that's very interesting, Bryce. Tom Godolphin, what's your ambition?
Well, I imagine after touring the Army, I'll try and get into some form of the newspaper, magazine, television, so on business.
Oh, a journalism major, huh? Right.
Well, English, really, but you can do journalism.
That's right. Okay, Lou Rukeyser, what are your plans?
I'd also like to get into some form of journalism, Alan.
Oh, that's a great subject down there. Joe Hochstein, what's your ambition?
I'll probably do some newspaper and television work for a while, I think.
Well, journalism's pretty popular down there, isn't that right?
Looks that way.
Okay, that's our challenging team tonight. Now, over in Washington, Lee, I want to talk to you, Fred.
Yeah.
Fred Lackman, because I understand that you're in the journalism school, and if I remember correctly, your school has something to do with the DuPont Radio Television Awards. Is that right?
That's right, Alan. Our journalism department administers those awards every year, and we've been processing all the entries from stations all over the country, and in just a few weeks now, we'll be giving out the first and second and third place awards, $1,000 apiece in those awards.
I see. Those are the DuPont Awards, right?
That's right. Oh. And that's not all, Alan. After that, we have something else very important coming up. We have the annual convention of the Southern Interscholastic Press Association of Washington, Lee, with about 800 aspiring high school journalists as our guests on the campus.
Well, that'll be a busy campus, won't it?
Surely will.
Okay.
All right, Alan. The score is now Washington and Lee 120, and Princeton, may be honest, they're now 10, and we have 10.5 minutes to go, so how about another toss-up question?
Here we go. You can still make it, Princeton, so on your toes. This toss-up you're going to hear now is the actual voice of a widely acclaimed poet. You are to identify the poet. Here goes.
Now, as I was young and easy under the apple...
Washington and Lee.
Return. Dylan Thomas.
Right for 10 points. Dylan Thomas reading his poem, Fern Hill. Okay. Washington Lee, here's your bonus. With Egypt in the headlines so much these days, we thought that it'd be interesting to have a question on this very ancient nation. So here's an Egypt bonus question. 3 parts, 10 points each. Tell us, first of all, who are the two N's? Now that's N as in no, in current Egyptian politics.
Fred Locke. Nasser and Naguib.
Nasser and Naguib. That's very good, Fred. 10 more points now. If you can name the Egyptian city that was, in ancient days, the center of Hellenistic and Jewish culture, and is today Egypt's largest seaport.
Harold Quinn.
Alexandria.
Right for 10 points. Alexandria. Now, for your third part, here's the question about Cleopatra. Cleopatra, one of the most famous women in Egyptian history. For 10 points, what are Cleopatra's needles? Anybody know that?
Yes, Harold Quinn.
They are the obelisks in St. Peter's Square in Rome.
Well, I'm going to accept it. They are two ancient obelisks, but they are now, one's in Central Park, New York, and the other is in London on the Thames Embankment, I think. Okay, but you got... Well, I want to know what they were, and they are obelisks. Okay. Here we go, back to a toss-up question. This one's a great one. 10 points. If you can tell us the name of the only president of the United States... who served two... Washington Lee.
Good luck. Grover Cleveland.
Oh, man, that's right, and I didn't even ask. Okay, I'm going to finish the question. The question was, name of the only president of the United States who served two non-consecutive terms in office. Grover Cleveland was the right answer. How did you know that was coming? Grover Cleveland was elected... You what? He's been peeking over my shoulder. So you're in Lexington and I'm up here in New York, okay? Here's your bonus, Washington Lee. It's a bonus question that is a new kind of spelling bee, so get out your pencils and paper.
How much is it worth, Alan?
25 points. We'll give you 25 points now if you can tell us the word that the following letters spell. First of all, take the letter you mark a patty cake with, according to the nursery rhyme. Add Hawthorne's scarlet letter. Then to that, add the average mark on a report card. And as the last letter in the word, use the letter that is exactly like a famous comedian's last name. You have 5 seconds. The letter
all right, that... we have it, Henry Turner.
Tack.
Oh, nope, I'm sorry.
T-A-C-K.
No, it's back. The first letter is B. In the nursery rhyme, patty cake, baker's man, bake me a cake as fast as you can, roll it and pat it and mark it with a B, and put it in the oven for baby and me. Okay, that was near, but... yeah.
Princeton had that one figured out, but we couldn't answer it.
Well, here you might get... well, you might get a chance at the 30-point musical bonus, Princeton, because that's what's coming up, and here's your toss-up. The other day, there was a general rise in prices for shares on the New York Stock Exchange. Now, for 10 points, tell us, on that day of the rise, who were gloomy, the bulls or the bears? Princeton.
The Rukeyser.
The bears.
That's right, for 10 points, the bears. Because they were trading for a loss, okay, and the price was going up. Okay, Princeton, you've got a chance now at a 30-point musical bonus in the field of classical music. You know, it's amazing to hear the wide variety of music composed by Mozart. To illustrate this tonight, we've selected 3 very different types of Mozart music, and for 10 points each, you are to identify the works. First of all...
Piano Sonata.
Can you give me the number of that? It is more popularly known as another thing. I'll have to accept it, but it is more popularly known as the Turkish March. However, it is Sonata number 1 in A for piano. Oh, that was a near one. Okay, what is this one? And I will not accept symphony.
That's a different...
What's the number?
Bryce Packard has this one, I think, Alan.
Hi, Bryce.
I believe that's the Prague Symphony.
Nope. It's Symphony number 40 in G minor. That's the third. That's the fourth and familiar movement. Okay. What is this?
Giovanni. Yeah, Bryce has this one, I think, Alan.
Okay, Bryce.
That's from The Marriage of Figaro.
That's right. What is it? That's okay. I'll accept it.
Sorry,
I'm very disfigured. Okay, it is, though. No tune on dry, all right? Here we go. What's the score now, Dick?
Washington and Lee, 170. Princeton, 40 with 4 minutes to go.
Coming up is the 30-point bonus. This is the toss-up. This Norwegian major accepted an important political office in Norway in 19... Princeton.
Bryce Blackett.
Quisling.
Right, for 10 points. Consequently, the English language had a new word for 10 points. What's his name? Quisling was his name. All right, here's a hypothetical situation. If you're, and you are to look for a legal error. This is your bonus question, Princeton. At the conclusion of a jury trial, the judge's only instruction to the jury was that they should return a verdict of acquittal if the defense lawyer in his case had succeeded in convincing them that the defendant was innocent. 30 points if you can tell us what was wrong with the judge's instructions. Princeton.
You're in a huddle, Alan.
Okay, huddle away and come up with an answer.
That's because a man under the American judicial system is innocent until proven guilty.
That's right, for 30 points. All right, here we go back to a toss-up question coming up to the 20-point bonus. For 10 points, complete this statement. Henry is to Claire Booth Luce what Christian in Pilgrim's Progress was to whom? In Pilgrim's Progress time, Christiana, the relationship, of course, being husband and wife. Here's another toss-up question. In the year 1930, an all-time record called the Grand Slam in golf was achieved by Bobby Jones. For 10 points, what did the Grand Slam... Princeton.
Lou Rukeyser.
He won the British and the American amateur and professional... amateur and open championships.
Right, for 10 points. Here's a 20-point bonus. A suburban housewife is planning an afternoon bridge party. Her guest list, Princeton, includes, now count them, Louise May Alcott's Little Women, King Lear's Daughters, the mythological Fates, and the Dreiser character, Alice Tripp. For 20 points, tell us how many bridge tables the hostess is planning to have. You've got 5 seconds.
Can we have that again, please?
Yeah, Louise May Alcott's Little Women, King Lear's Daughters, the mythological Fates, and the Dreiser character, Alice Tripp. How many bridge tables?
Total of 10.
How many bridge tables? 10 tables?
No, how many tables?
Yes.
3.
Right, for 20 points. Okay, I'll accept that numerical answer, and we'll go on. We got a minute and a half to go. It's worth 10 points if you can name the famous American military ground where no battle was fought, though 3,000 men fell there. Princeton.
Valley Forge.
Right, for 10 points. Valley Forge. You've got a 20-point bonus coming up. The score's 120 to 170 for Washington Lee. A famous philosophical principle states, in the author-philosopher's own words, quote, "Act only on that maxim whereby thou canst at the same time will that it should become a universal law."
Kant.
Right. For 20 points, what name do we know this principle? What
is it? Categorical imperative.
Right. For 20 points. Okay, it's 140 to 170 with 45 seconds to go. We will read you a quotation from T.S. Eliot's new play, The Confidential Clerk, two words of which form the title of a well-known book in juvenile literature. 10 points if you name the book. The quotation is, "You have your secret garden to which you can retire." Washington and Lee.
Bobby Fox.
Secret garden.
Right, for 10 points. "You have your secret garden to which you can retire and lock the gate behind you" with the rest of that quote. "The secret garden is a child book by Francis Hodgson Burnett." Here's your question, Washington and Lee, 15-point bonus. To test not what you've learned in college, but rather your powers of observation, you've all seen the famous Smith Brothers trademark. For 15 points, tell us which brother's beard is the longer, the one over trade or the one over Mark?
I'm sorry, Alan. I'm sorry. That's it. Time's up. Sorry, but the game is all over for this week, and the final score in the College Quiz Bowl tonight is 140 points for Princeton, who really came up, and 180 points for the winner, Washington and Lee University. Now, to each member of the Princeton team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitner wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitner family of fine watches. Since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. And for fielding the winning team tonight, Washington and Lee University will receive a $500 gift to be administered by the university. And these varsity scholars from Washington and Lee will return next week to compete in this new All-American quiz game with the varsity scholars at Barnard College here in New York. And now, once again, here is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Okay, I want to congratulate the Washington Lee University team. You were great. And I want to say to the men at Princeton University, you did a wonderful job, boy. You were coming right up there at the end. Bryce Claggett, Tom Godolphin, Lou Rukeyser, and Joe Hochstein. You all were great, and I want to thank you all. In the weeks to come, we're going to have varsity scholars here from the University of Pittsburgh, Syracuse University, Colorado University, and leading colleges and universities all over the country. So be with us again next week and every week for an exciting quiz game here in the College Quiz Bowl. Now, this is Alan Ludden saying, so long, everybody.
Your referees tonight were for Princeton University, Roger Tuttle of NBC New York. And for Washington and Lee University, Joe Moffat of station WSLS Roanoke. College Quiz Bowl is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production, originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed, directed by Ken McGregor. This is Dick Dudley speaking.